Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, November 9th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 97, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page, for the type of alcoholic, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reader of the text this morning is Dana P. Shelley E. will read page 164, and our backup is Dana P. Reference number for Monday, November 8th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,046, and for this morning, Tuesday, November 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,052. That's 18052. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kathy S., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Don, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 97, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page. For the type of alcoholic, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Dana P. to begin reading. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. It's Dana P. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your service and everyone here on the line. Such a pleasure and an honor. For the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to bribe each other with these very things. When such action is warranted, this may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. I'm going to start with a prayer. And this morning I was on my walk in the rain, and it was beautiful, and I was speaking to my beloved master, my higher power, who is my joyful playmate. He is everything to me. He's holding my hand as I'm walking, and I'm saying, you know, God, Master, set aside everything I think I know about myself, my unmanageability, these 12 steps, and especially you, so that I can have an open mind and a new experience with all of these things in the shortened version. But, you know, my beloved has such a sense of humor, and I'm walking along thinking, well, when I get home, I'm going to be the backup reader, and I'm going to get in the bath, and I'm going to have a nice bath, and I'm going to listen to a meeting, and I'm just going to kick back and chill. Well, guess what? Here I am, a backup reader. So I'm just really so amazed at how, you know, he's always scripting something out for me that is far better than what I could possibly imagine, because this is where I've been. You know, allow me to be fully present in the now. It's another prayer that I've just been really praying a lot. And so fully present in the now, in this paragraph, you know, I didn't think I had anything to say about it. I actually attempted to ask a question on the second half of the first meeting about What does he mean by willing to get well and that desire? You know, how do I determine that in another? And I'll be darned if I didn't get bumped off the line. I called 3 other fellows after the meeting to ask that question. I'll be darned if none of them are available. And so essentially what that is saying to me is that I need to go to my higher power and ask this question before I start reaching out and looking for as they say, money and shelter and all of these other things to fix my quote-unquote problem. And that's what this paragraph is saying to me. You know, I have to have the ultimate willingness, the desperation and desire for my God, you know, for my beloved master, not seeking something else outside of myself. But again, then there's this dichotomy here where it says, yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other. And those are the tools and my fellows. So it doesn't mean I'm going to go hidey in a hole now because nobody's calling me back. Whoa, whoa, whoa is me. I'm going to get on this line and I'm going to do service just like my God has scripted me to do this morning. So thank you so much for calling on me, and hope that helps someone out. It sure helped me, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for stepping up and getting us started. We appreciate that. And I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning? It's a great opportunity to share today.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Teresa C.
Teresa C.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Melanie C. M.
Melanie C. M. Okay, let's start with that lineup. I have Donna B., Teresa C., Robin P., and Melanie C. M. Go ahead, Donna B., please share with us.
Did you call on me? This is Donna B.
I sure did. Yep. Go ahead, Donna. Thank you so much.
I was unmuting. Hi, I'm Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver. And this morning I read through this paragraph, sort of anticipating the meeting and getting a sense of what we were going to talk about. And I also thought to myself, well, I don't have anything to share. I'm going to do the laundry. And then the line was quiet. And I thought, well, I guess I'll put my name out there. So I was also led to share by the desire to be a part of the community more than necessarily having something terribly insightful to share on this paragraph. I was struck by the word willing as well. The word able to me, you know, we talk about that in the beginning of how it works. The only able part I need to have is honesty. And the willingness part, I think sometimes is overrated. There are a lot of people who've called me in the past and they'll say, I'm just not willing to do this. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to do this. And I need to have willingness and I need to have willingness. And there's this sense that the willingness is forever. But just as we have the slogan, you know, one day at a time, for me, willingness is that desire, that open-mindedness, that intention, that prayer to do just the next right thing. So I don't have to decide in this moment what I'm going to be willing to do for the rest of my life, for the rest of the month. I just have to connect deeply with a sense of direction of where I need to be in this next moment, and to hear that and then be willing to take that next tiny step. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Teresa C., will you share with us now, followed by Robin P.? Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. Teresa C. from New Jersey, compulsive overeater, recovered for today. And what stuck out to me in this paragraph is the men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. And, you know, this reminds me of, like, if I want to set conditions before I recover, well, and it also reminds me of, like, the if onlys. If only this were true, then I could really work the program. If only this were true, and not even work the program, you know, then I would be abstinent. If only, if only, if only. And it's just not true. that's being on the wrong track. And so, again, people mention the willingness and the openness to be open and willing to say, no matter what my circumstances are, no matter what weight I am, no matter what my family situation is, no matter what my work situation is, no matter what my mental situation is, I need to, you know, get into the program and do the best I can to work the 12 steps, to become abstinent and work the 12 steps. And that's the way I'll do it. There's no preconditions besides my openness and willingness. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Teresa C. And now Robin P., will you share with us, followed by Melanie C. M. Good morning, Robin.
Thanks so much. Hi, Dawn. Thanks so much for your great service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I, too, didn't really know what to share, but I wanted to be a blessing to the meeting. So, you know, I'm really grateful. I have a sponsee. I've been taking through the steps, who's just doing her step 5. And she's blessing me as much as I'm blessing her. And because she's willing. Just willing. And, you know, and I'll say something and she'll mull it over and it will be different from what she thought, you know, and then, you know, even about food triggers and things, you know, and she's open and willing and she's recovering. And it's so touching. It just reminds me every time this is happening when I work with someone who's willing one day at a time, it's very touching and such a blessing to my spirit. And when someone's not willing, I ask someone, are you willing to go to any length to recover, the way I was asked? And I'm always feel sad when someone, you know, I ask them to pray about it overnight. And when someone says, no, they're not, they come back and they go, they're not willing. And I'm always surprised because I think, oh, my gosh, you want it to get worse? You know, like, you know, wow, darn, you know, and it seems like it's really bad, you know. Like, wow. But it takes what it takes. And I just say, just pray to hit bottom. And I'm so grateful for the willingness today. And, you know, I've gone through needing a shelter, from a different kind of storm during abstinence. You know, I'm sensitive to 5G and, EMF, and we've moved to Costa Rica as part of the looking for the solution for that. I've literally been in agony. It's been the most painful part of my recovery of my life. It's dealing with this, and it's been excruciating at times. I have the regular symptoms of people with sensitive EMF. My skin feels like it's on fire. My head feels like it's going to explode, literally crawling on the floor in pain, and God just keeps carrying me one day at a time in abstinence, and God keeps providing me with shelter. So I'm very grateful. Very grateful for all of you. I'm sending you all a big hug, and thank you very much for letting me share a path.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Now, Melanie C.M., will you share with us? And then I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Just a reminder, we are on page 97, the fourth paragraph, way at the bottom of the page there, starting with for the type of alcoholic, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. So thank you so much, and good morning, Melanie C. Please share with us. Melanie C.M.
Good morning. This is Melanie C.M. from Atlanta, Georgia. And I caught the very tail end of the reading, but what I heard this morning is being desperate enough and being willing, and I experienced that right before I got on the line. I just saw something in Home Depot and, you know, my mind started racing like, oh, yeah, you can do that. And it just, you know, my mind still plays those tricks on me. You know, you've had some recovery and now you're free. And immediately I just prayed and it just reminded me that, you know, my prayer is always there, whether I'm at Home Depot, in my kitchen, wherever I am. And it was just a really good reminder that sometimes I have to be desperate enough to pause and allow God to come in. Because my disease will convene a meeting and, you know, just change the whole agenda in a matter of seconds. And so if I'm not, you know, in fit spiritual condition, that's what can happen. But when I'm in fit spiritual condition, I do have the willingness to pause and say, you know what, this is our plan. You know, thank you for all the, you know, all the thought set and all the things that I had to do to cope before, but I don't have to use that anymore. And it happens in the strangest times. I mean, Home Depot. But at any rate, so I'm grateful today to be in this program. I took my program to Jamaica last week, and it was a fabulous trip, and I was able to be present. That was the biggest gift for me from program is being present. I'm still in the process of releasing some extra pounds, but I didn't let that stop me from enjoying myself and being present. And so for that, I'm grateful that I can enjoy the moment and not say, well, when I lose weight, you know, this, and this, you know, I'll just cancel this trip to Jamaica and I'll just wait until it. So today I'm grateful, and I thank you all for your service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melanie C.M. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines. As I said, we're on page 97, the fourth paragraph. Bottom of the page there starts with, for the type of alcoholic. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Kaya P.
Kaya P.
Laura R.
Laura R. Christy M.
Kathy S.
Kathy S. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Kaya P., Laura R., Christy M., and Kathy S. Go ahead, Kaya P. Please tell us where you're calling from, if you'd like.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. This is Kaya P. in Colorado. I spell my name C-H-A-Y-A, but it's pronounced like you're saying hello. Thank you so much for leading the meeting, and thank you everybody for sharing, and welcome to anyone who's new. And I can say ditto to much of what's been said. I guess I was just going to, what I was thinking was, I mean, I always laugh because I say when I asked my sponsor to sponsor me, I said, I'm willing to do anything you tell me except change my religion. Like that was it, you know? And so I think what they're showing us here is, you know, putting qualifications on my willingness. And my sponsor was like laughing and she's like, good news, you don't have to change your religion. Don't worry about it. And, you know, so putting qualifications like, well, I need this much money or I need this job. And we know the book says job or no job, wife or no wife. Right, that there we don't have to, there's no conditions except just the willingness to, you know, get sustained from alcoholic foods and food behaviors and get on with the steps. And I'm just and so it's kind of a litmus test, you know, and they're saying for the person who's willing, charity's not an issue, job's not an issue, so things are not an issue because it's a laser focus on I just want what you have. And that brings me to page 58. And a wonderful fellow in this program who's recovered and shares, you know, lives the 12 step, always says, you know, where it says on page 58, it says, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then and only then are you willing to take, you know, you're ready to take certain steps. Like then and only then, meaning, I want what you have and I'm willing to go to any lengths to get it. Then and only then, meaning I can't really sponsor somebody if they're really not willing. And it's not a judgment at all. Like I make lots of friends just from those phone calls, but not everybody is is willing to say, well, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do anything. Yeah, I'm going to not do this for a while, or I'll do this for a while, whatever it is. And you know what? Sometimes people are not ready, and that's okay too. I mean, the book says that's okay. Like, this is a self-diagnosis deal, and it takes what it takes. And what I always share with people, like when they're struggling, perhaps they really want it. They really, really want it, but for some reason, they're just not getting it. You know, I say this could be part of your story, because eventually you'll get it. You just keep coming back, keep praying for willingness, keep doing whatever you can do to become willing. And guess what? One day you'll get it, and there'll be a person, a newcomer, who's going to have the exact same problem. And you're going to be able to say, guess what? I went through that, and look at me. You can do this too. And I just think love and tolerance is our code. And with sponsorship and working with people, that's very important. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kaya P. from Colorado. Laura R., will you share with us now, please, followed by Christy M. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for chairing the meeting. Welcome to everyone who's new, and hello, family. What a great topic. What I'm thinking about today is a couple things. One, for all the people who spent the time on me, like seriously, all my sponsors, who were willing to take me through the work, who were willing to give me the time when I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready until this time. There was always conditions. I think that for me, like there was my, you know, I was like, well, you know, yeah, but, or, you know, what about, I want to keep this student, or, oh, you won't let me make a food change, or, oh, you won't let me do this. You know, I was fighting. I was not ready until this time, and I don't know what it was. And why, and it wasn't anything spectacular, just all of a sudden I was ready, like it just happened, and she said, this is the time I can meet, okay, this is, you know, what about putting down these foods, sure, like what about doing that, okay, like it was just like, whatever you say, and I did the work, and I went through the steps with all the food down, and it just happened, and you know, I have helped someone find a job before, why, because they did the work. I will help anyone who is willing to help themselves. And this individual needed a job, and I, you know, we got her one, you know, like with the help of a couple people that I knew, with her, you know, her resume, she was able to find one, and she didn't have a job when she first started, and she didn't have a home. Like she called herself that she went on vacation. She went camping. That's what she called it. I'm camping. Okay. okay. You know, and I've worked with another woman who was homeless before as well. And she got her way, but she did the work, you know, again, like she was willing to show up. And I don't know. It's just, there's something about like the Rachel was talking about earlier with just, there's that spirit that like, you know, it's just like co-partnership that happens between, you know, a sponsee and a sponsor. And just like the only thing that I can see that a lot of people give me is time. And I just can't thank them enough. You know, right now I'm starting a new fellowship, and I have apps. I'm blind. I don't even understand it at all. But I'm willing. She's saying, do this, do that, do this, do that. And every single day it's done. And I'm hungry. You know, I just want to learn. And she is giving me so much time and energy. And with that, I'm so incredibly grateful. And that's, I will do that too in this program. You know, if you're willing to do the work, you put the food down and you're calling me, I will call you back. You're done with the work. Let's meet. Like, it's just remarkable. So I don't really have anything else to say, except I'm just grateful for the fellows in this program, and I'm grateful for God, and I'm grateful that my sponsors put my hand into God's hand and helping me grow in understanding of effectiveness. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Laura R. And now Christy M., will you share with us, followed by Kathy S. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., recovering bulimic overeater and anorexic in Oregon. And I think in the beginning, in terms of willingness, one of my character flaws, perfectionism, and I expected this perfect willingness meant I was willing. And I think there were some things I heard early on that really helped me get willing or understand what willingness was for me to get abstinent. And one of the pieces I heard was just be willing for today. Because when I thought about the future of like, oh, I have to give this up for the rest of my life, or I can't do this, or like the thought of that was overwhelming. And I had a sponsor tell me, you just have to be willing today. Sometimes you just have to be willing for this hour or this minute, and don't think about being willing for the rest of your life. And so sometimes willingness is like, I just have to be willing this hour, or I have to be willing this day. I'm starting this day with a meeting, but I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to be willing, you know, 10 days from now. And so willingness can just be for this minute. And like, that's how I can think about it, especially when someone's new in recovery. I think the other thing that really helped me with willingness is that sometimes willingness doesn't have to come for me. Sometimes, like, it absolutely can't come for me. Sometimes my willingness has to come from my higher power, because my flesh, myself, is what got me into this program. Like, that's what my flesh wants to do. That's what my body wants to do. And sometimes the willingness doesn't have to come with me. And it's kind of like the fourth step is, like, we don't have the power to get rid of our own character defects. It's our higher power that lifts him in his time. And sometimes my willingness has to come from my higher power because it's not in me. And that was a big life changer for me, is, well, like, it doesn't all have to come for me. And sometimes it can't. And I heard someone in a meeting say sometimes, like, you know, when she was walking to the refrigerator about to put some food in her mouth, she would stop and say a prayer, sometimes a serenity prayer. And like, that was what she needed to do in that moment to, like, tap back into her higher power and to turn her willingness back over to higher power when her own self was failing. So, you know, sometimes on bad days and going into the holidays is a time where, no matter how much recovery I have, like, I might struggle with willingness during the holidays, during times where, like, food and certain foods become very central to how we celebrate in our culture. And my willingness, I will struggle. And that doesn't mean I'm not recovered. It doesn't mean I don't have good recovery. It means I'm human, and it means I'm an addict. So what I can be is willing for that day. What I can do is look for willingness from my higher power or in a meeting when I don't have it myself. And that's just how I need to work my program. And so I think it was important for me to learn and grow to understand willingness isn't perfect. And just because sometimes I'm not willing doesn't mean I'm not recovered. It just means I need to be looking for a power greater than myself to find willingness. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. Now, Kathy S., will you share with us? And then I'm going to be opening up the lines again. As a reminder, we're on page 97, the fourth paragraph there at the bottom of the page for the type of alcoholic, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. Good morning, Kathy S. Please share
with
us.
Good morning. Good morning, Don. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And what stands out for me in this paragraph was that first sentence, for the type of alcoholic who is able. And that reminded me of on page 58, which somebody else also referred to earlier. You know, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And what it takes to be able is to be in that last sentence of that same paragraph. Many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. So do I have a capacity to be honest? If so, then I'm able and willing to get well. Just reminds me, it's kind of like what comes up for me is this first step in giving up on being a victim. It reminds me of a spiritual story about someone who couldn't walk their whole life, and they were asked, "Do you want to get well?" It was just a simple question, and their response was, "Yes, but other people are they push me aside, they block my path, I can't get into this healing pool." And, you know, and that's what I did. I constantly was depending upon other people and my circumstance, which what we're going to talk about in the next paragraph, or myself, and it never worked. But it was only when I finally became exhausted in trying all those other options that I became willing to try to trust, to depend upon God rather than food or other people, and get well. And that's all it takes, really, that and obviously working the steps. But we we work the steps, that's the part of, like, in getting back to that spiritual story, the response was pick up your mat and walk. There's a part that we have to do, and that is to follow, put down the food, entire, be entirely abstinent, and follow the steps. And God does the rest. It's just like, you know, what we learn in step three, you know, we just have to plug into that power and it flows wherever it's needed. So there's little charity. You know, I don't need my sponsor to do the work for me. I don't need all this help from other people. I don't need my husband to understand. I just have to do what I need to do. It's the first step in authenticity. I'm a real compulsive overeater. I'm powerless. God is my only option. And this is what we do. So thanks. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy S. from Georgia. Now I'm going to be opening up the lines. Again, we're on page 97, the fourth paragraph, starting with, for the type of alcoholic. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Who else would like to share?
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T.
Yes.
And Carrie, who is that G? Other name? Was that Carrie E?
G.
Carrie G.
Thank you.
Okay, I have Kelly H., Mary Ellen T., and Carrie G. Go ahead, Kelly H., and please share where you're calling from, if you'd
Hi,
like.
This is Kelly H., compulsive overeater from North Carolina. And this paragraph, for me, is really hard to isolate it and get the context without looking at the before and after paragraph. But just standing alone, there's some really key words in it that kind of are good thought words for me. Track, wrong track is kind of an interesting term, because I really do think of like a train yard or traveling. And, you know, I, in this program, I was so desperate and willing when I came in, although I definitely had my moments and still do with my sponsor, where I get chided in the right ways to consider something new. And that's my forever recovering story. But when I think of others, I do think of like being on an airplane with people going to some location, and I travel quite a bit, and I'm very comfortable in the travel arena, airplanes, trains, whatever. But I'm reminded constantly that there are people who are new to it and who don't have all of the things. They don't know how to pack well. They don't know what to do with motion sickness. They don't. They're too needy. And the rest of us more experienced travelers just kind of roll our eyes like, really? You have all these like crazy carry-ons. Are you kidding me? You know, I'm tripping all over the place. Or you're exacting. You're asking a flight attendant for way too much. How annoying, you know? And so this kind of does remind me to check out the 12 traditions in this group fellowship we're in, that I really need to be attentive and have more of a heart of compassion and not the eye-rolling, further-down-the-road attitude. My arrogance is out of step with this 12-step program. There needs to be a heart of wisdom and a heart of compassion for our fellow travelers. And so just looking at this paragraph, I am really reminded that I can go and offer help and be helpful, but I also need to not be codependent on this new person and not cater to the desperation of needing a thing in order for somebody else to recover. I can lovingly and compassionately come alongside of them and choose not to offer them that thing, but choose to offer them the program that I've known. because that's how I'm recovering and how I have freedom every day. So it's really kind of a, I just really like this paragraph, looking at it, that I can absolutely be helpful without catering. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly H. from North Carolina. Now, Mary Ellen T., will you share with us? And please share where you're calling from if you'd like.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T. is in Tango, and I live in Oregon. And I'm grateful to be on a meeting and being willing to share. It's really scary for me. I hate pressing star one. I hate the feeling of my heartbeat in my throat and feeling unsure of what I'm going to say. And it, for me, it's like leaping off the cliff and just trusting that higher power's got me and I'm going to be able to share something that, you know, is hopefully helpful to someone else. And I just love that this meeting has the topics kind of revolved around that willingness and how we've shown up and having to put aside all these types of conditions in which we want to recover. When I first came into the rooms, I was dealing with a husband in a marriage that was failing, a sex addict, and I had a sponsor, you know, who, you know, was suggesting that I needed to go work in another program to address that first before I worked on my food addiction, or maybe I needed to work on them simultaneously. And I, you know, in my heart of hearts, I knew that the food, you know, for me, the food was the issue. It wasn't about my husband and his behaviors or my attraction towards, relationships that were, you know, hurtful or damaging to me, but it was about my food and my food behaviors and just the obsession and that inability to be able to extract myself despite the promises and that I'd tell myself about, you know, I'm not going to eat like this again. And you know, and so that willingness just really continued to help me keep focused and pointed in towards that direction of getting recovered. And we were still living in the same household, but in the process of going through a divorce. And, you know, there was a lot of times that I opened up my mouth and I inserted my foot, and I should have been wearing my peppermint shoes the whole time. Just because I was having to eat it a lot and I was disturbed so frequently, but I wanted to be free from this disease. I heard you guys talking. I heard the freedom in your voice, and I knew it was possible. And it was just an incredible journey of getting through that divorce, moving out, and starting a life on my own. And being freer and freer and freer. And, you know, every morning I continue to pray for that willingness, because that's so it's the essential tenet, you know, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness is what the necessary prerequisites are for us to be able to get recovered and to find some type of higher power that's going to work with us and for us and through us, so that we can be free. And so that we can see beyond our own typical charades and the way that I want to be able to direct and arrange the show in my life, and to be able to just step back and allow others to live their life and not be in this need to control. And that's just been one of the beautiful gifts of my program, recovery, and having higher power presence in my life. It's been a compass, an absolute compass for me. And I appreciate the opportunity to share. That's it for me. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Now, Carrie G., will you share with us? And please share where you're calling from.
Hi, yes, Carrie G., recovered in Colorado. Grateful to be on a meeting. And I can definitely identify with the previous speaker that I don't like pressing star one, but I'm grateful to be a part of. And we share what the directions in the big book mean to us. And I was reminded by a lovely sponsee this morning that this is a textbook. It's not a one and done. It's like a school book. We keep going back to it over and over. And so
the paragraph is teaching me, like a textbook, that we go to great extremes to provide each other with the very things that were given to me to help me recover. And those very things are resources such as A Vision for You that's been live and thriving for over 9 years now and has all the podcasts that I could ever imagine I need to reprogram this addict's brain. And that's exactly what got me well, is listening to the podcasts over and over. What is entire abstinence? And the doctor's opinion, and, you know, being able to get on this meeting and announce myself as a newcomer at the end of the meeting so I get the resources I need, and be able to write down sponsors' phone numbers that I can call and reach out to. So this book is a textbook, and I'm grateful that that it gives me everything I need to know, and that I am willing to have that beginner mind and set aside everything I think I know so I can have a new experience of the book, that I've been taught whatever I think, do the opposite, right? That idea that I have to, that common sense would become uncommon sense, that God is now placing a new attitude, a new a sense of knowing, and I can trust and rely on that knowing so I can build the relationship with my higher power, and I can shift my thinking out of the disease, out of the illness. So if you are still struggling with this illness, stay steeped in this book and keep coming back to these meetings, because it's what got me well, my experience. So grateful to be on. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Carrie G. from Colorado. And we do have time for one more share of like about a minute. Is there someone who hasn't shared in the last 3 days that would like to share?
This is Sarah C.
Okay, go ahead, Sarah C.
My name's Sarah, and I'm a recovered compulsive over and under eater and an exercise bulimic in Utah. And, you know, for me, this is just my experience, strength, and hope that I can come to the meetings, I can have a sponsor, I can read the big book, but my recovery does not come from any source other than my higher power. If somebody said to me, you can do this, I did it, that to me is just self-will. I have to be surrendered to a power greater than myself. That's where my recovery comes from. I have to be willing to realize that I, of myself, am powerless. Other, you know, I'll just say it clear, what it is for me. I'm screwed on my own because I'm going to eat. I need a power greater than myself. So the steps are great. The fellowship's great. But when somebody says to me, I did it, you can do it too, don't sponsor me because I can't do it or I wouldn't be on this line. It's my higher power, and that's the source of my recovery. So thank you for letting me share, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Sarah C. from Utah. And thank you to everyone who shared. Made it such a beautiful meeting. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, on my way back to Texas. Page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.